Right, 707, we're FM Talk 106.5, and this is Mobile Mornings, which, by the way, if you're over at votenappies.com, we appreciate your vote.
Mm-hmm. I just did my morning voting.
Yeah, you did?
Votenappies.com, and surprise, surprise, I voted for FM Talk 106.5.
Okay, that's a good first step.
Yeah.
Votenappies.com. We appreciate y'all's votes there. Thank you very, very much. Three big things as we get started this morning. Top news stories of the day. On the front page of our website, President Trump signs an order on police reform. Doesn't mention racism. We'll get into details on that. Also, a federal judge ruling that Alabama cannot stop local officials from offering curbside voting during the pandemic. Curbside voting.
Hmm.
Talk about what that means. And the debate continues on eliminating the term race and replacing it with the word ethnicity on City of Mobile forms. That came back up in Mobile City Council meeting yesterday. Details on that in coming up in just a couple minutes. Right now, start off this hour like we do the 6 and 7 o'clock hours with the numbers here from yesterday, coronavirus nationally and here at home in Alabama.
Yeah, there are now 2.2 million total positive cases of coronavirus for America, and 119,000 have died due to COVID-19. Yesterday, over 464,000 tests were reported nationally, and 5.5% of those tests came back positive. There were also 849 deaths added to the nation's toll after 2 days of fewer than 425 deaths. But some good news, there have been 24.5 million total tests nationally since the pandemic began. For Alabama, we have 26,500 confirmed cases in the state, and 779 have died due to COVID-19. Yesterday, there were 56 new hospitalizations reported across Alabama. That's the most since we hit our peak of 71 hospitalizations back on April 25th. There were 632 new cases added yesterday, 7-day average of cases at a high of 779 per day, and the 14-day average also at a high. We've averaged 575 cases per day over the last 2 weeks. Some disconcerting news for Alabama, and maybe there's a lag in the reporting for this, but only 2,742 tests were reported yesterday, which brings our average down to just over 5,000 test results per day over the last week. And over that week, 14.5% of those test results have been positive. Of course, we'd like to see that number closer to the national average of 4 or 5%. There were also 10 deaths reported in Alabama yesterday. Over the last 7 days, we're averaging 8 deaths per day and 9 deaths per day over the last 2 weeks. Looking at the local level, Mobile County has 2,771 cases of COVID-19, with 129 that have died due to the virus. Mobile added 48 cases yesterday and 0 new deaths. Baldwin County added 6 cases yesterday. They have now had 368 cases in Baldwin County with 9 deaths. They haven't had a new death added since May 22nd. In Baldwin County.
Great news.
Yeah, some really good news. Washington County has 88 cases with 6 deaths. Clark County, 194 cases with 3 deaths. Monroe County, 144 cases and 2 deaths. Escambia County, 112 cases and 4 deaths. Choctaw County, 177 cases of coronavirus with 11 deaths. Conecuh has 107 cases with 1 death. And Wilcox County with 226 cases and 8 deaths. And Montgomery County continues to see their numbers rise as they've taken the lead in the state for a number of coronavirus cases. They added 51 more cases yesterday from Montgomery County and now are nearing 3,000 total cases of coronavirus. Also, 2 new deaths in Montgomery County yesterday, where the city council were put to vote to decide whether to force people that live in Montgomery County in Montgomery, the city, to wear masks.
And just like the Birmingham ordinance, they let mm-hmm. that expire in Birmingham, but now Montgomery's going to...
Yeah, they went to vote yesterday and 5-4.
How do they have a... 5-4?
The council voted 5-4 to not enforce masks in Montgomery.
So it's that close.
Yeah, it was that close. And it fell along racial lines, like we've seen so many councils across Alabama over the last, for a while now. But each of the black council members in Montgomery voted for the mask ordinance, and the white council members voted against.
Are we that simplistic? I hope we get to a point where it's past that, where you could predict stuff mm-hmm. based on race. That's, you know, that would be... To me, if we can get to that place, we've come a long way in this country. Mm-hmm. Speaking of what councils are doing, that's what's going on in Montgomery with requiring the mask. Mm-hmm. Here we're talking about words.
Yeah, and replacing the word race in all city forms with the word ethnicity. And that's actually been talked about, and City Councilman Fred Richardson has brought that up, and he brought it up a long time ago. But now with the current protests across America, it's kind of taken front and center on stage again for Mobile Mobile City Council.
All right, we'll get into details on that coming up in just a little bit. And then look at this as we talk about the news coming out. I focus on this as well because we are a retail-driven economy, and American shoppers have ramped up our spending. Did y'all know that? You've been spending more?
Yeah.
On in-store purchases by a record 17.7% from April to May. Y'all, 17.7% from April to May, which delivered a big dose of energy for retailers who've been reeling since the coronavirus shutdown business. Bill Michaels from Westwood One has more.
The government report showed that consumer retail purchases have retraced some of the record-setting month-to-month plunges of March at over 8% and April at nearly 15% as businesses have increasingly reopened. Still, the pandemic's damage to retailers remains severe, with purchases still down over 6% from a year ago. Last month's bounce back by consumers comes against the backdrop of an economy that may have begun what could be a slow and prolonged recovery. I'm Bill Michaels.
But a slow and prolonged recovery, even though we had record jumps in retail spending. What do y'all think from hearing that? Or like I use my unscientific metric of the dang traffic on Airport Boulevard. Do you feel like the economy's back to 50% of where we were in January? Or where do you think it is? Hit us up on the text line at 343-0106. You can always text us at that number, 343-0106. All right, coming up in sports.
NASCAR has announced their 2021 Hall of Fame class, and Dale Earnhardt Jr. will be a member of the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Also, the NBA putting out some more information about what the NBA players will experience in Orlando as they prepare to resume their 2020 season.
All right, that's on the way in sports. News headlines from WKRG next.
Good morning, 716 on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, and it's time for the Mobile Morning Sports Report. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is headed to the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Jr. was among three drivers selected Tuesday for induction into the Hall of Fame in 2021.
I feed off of affirmation. There's no greater pat on the back or a tip of the cap than this.
Jr.'s joined by Mike Stefanik and Red Farmer. Earnhardt and Stefanik were chosen from the Modern Era ballot, while Farmer was voted in from the Pioneer ballot. In addition, Ralph Seagraves was named the recipient of the Landmark Award for Outstanding Contributions to NASCAR. Jr. began his NASCAR career in 1996, retired from full-time racing in 2017. He was voted NASCAR's most popular driver an amazing 15 times, earned 26 wins, 149 top five finishes, and 260 top 10 finishes in 631 Cup Series races. Jr. also won two Xfinity Series championships back in 1998 and 1999. Now, Earnhardt Jr. will join his late father in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Stefanik earned six series championships, 74 wins, and 301 top 10 finishes, and 453 career starts. He unfortunately passed away in a plane crash last year at the age of 61. Farmer was a three-time NASCAR late model sportsman champion and the 1956 modified champion. He gained fame along with Bobby and Donnie Allison as a member of the Alabama Gang in the 1960s. The three moved to Hueytown, Alabama from near Miami, Florida early in their careers because they had more tracks to race at in Alabama. In more NASCAR news, another Hall of Famer, Dale Jarrett, announced yesterday that he has tested positive for COVID-19 and is now in quarantine. The three-time Daytona 500 winner and 1999 Cup champion said that the only symptom he has is a slight cough and that he's doing well. Former Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is giving back to his hometown. Yesterday, Tua's agency announced that the Miami Dolphins rookie has established a $300,000 scholarship endowment at his alma mater, St. Louis High School in Honolulu. The agency said that four scholarships will be awarded to students from Hawaii over the next 4 years, each named in honor of Tua's grandparents. Tagovailoa was drafted fifth overall by the Miami Dolphins in April. He signed a four-year, $30 million contract. While there may not be a 2020 Major League Baseball season, as owners and players continue to squabble over pay, teams are still signing prospects to contracts following the five-round MLB draft that was held last week. Yesterday, University of South Alabama pitcher Drake Nightingale announced that he has signed with the New York Mets. Nightingale ranked fourth in the Sun Belt in 2019 in ERA and strikeouts. He was named to the 2020 Sun Belt Conference Preseason Pitcher of the Year before that season was canceled earlier this year. And as the NBA prepares to restart its 2020 season with 22 teams at the Wide World of Sports Complex in Orlando, Florida, more information is coming in regarding the players' living situation while they compete in the Disney bubble. Teams have been assigned to one of three hotels based on their current standings in each conference. The championship contenders will stay at the Grand Destino Tower at Coronado Springs. Middle seeds will stay at the Grand Floridian, while the playoff bubble teams will stay at the Yacht Club. If players leave the Disney campus, they'll have to self-quarantine for 10 days when they arrive back to the complex. But there will be plenty for them to do there at Disney. Each hotel has a players-only lounge with video games, TVs, and ping pong tables. Sean, they can play singles on the ping pong tables. Yeah. Not allowed to team up.
Yeah,
not allowed
to play doubles. Less than 6 feet there, right?
That's right. Yeah. It has resort-style outdoor space that's been set up for pool access and card games. They can go fishing, golfing, bowling, boating, bike riding, and they can visit Disney's Animal Kingdom and the Wild Africa Trek. The teams will play and practice at three different facilities. Season set to resume July 30th before a limited number of family and guests can visit beginning on August 30th. 720 on FM Talk 106.5. That's a look at sports on Mobile Mornings.
724 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. About 10 minutes away from our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, looks at our forecast for the week, the weekend, and we'll talk about the tropics as well. It's all coming up. Why don't you say hello to Larry Kirby at LCM. And as always, we talk inventory. But Larry, let's talk about inventory in that. Yet, what do you have in like the $10,000 range?
You know, we've got a great selection, Sean. We get all of our local trade-ins. You know, we got Toyota Priuses, we got Dodges, we got Chryslers, we got, like I said, Toyotas, Fords, Chevrolets. Right now, we got one truck under $10,000.
But if you look tomorrow, it could be a bunch of new inventory show up. I mean, that's how it happens.
You could look this afternoon and it'll be different.
And also, we talk about selection. Okay, let's talk about this. If I find a vehicle at $10,000, can I still do financing with y'all, or does it have to be more? Or what
no,
about that?
We can get anything. $3,000 and above, we can get finance somewhere.
Good deal. That's what that selection is all about. All right, so give us directions to come out and talk financing and check out the selection of vehicles ever-changing at LCM.
Come see us at Highway 90 at Plantation Road. Visit us online at lcmmotorcars.com. Like us on Facebook or just call us at 375-0068.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks.
Larry Kirby checking in from LCM. All right, I saw this story popped up this morning from MyNBC 15 on their website. It said, plans are underway to paint Black Lives Matter in huge yellow letters in the middle of downtown Mobile. Mm-hmm. The plan is to paint Conte Street near Cathedral Square. This is going to be on Sunday, part of the Juneteenth celebration. I guess Juneteenth is actually Friday.
That's right.
But I guess over the weekend. They put a picture up, a rendering here of what it would look like. So the rendering shows what a street mural could look like. The words Black Lives Matter will stretch nearly the entire block. They talked to Sonika Edwards-Bush, a local artist, who says, "We matter. This is me. We want to be seen. We want to be noticed as a person, as an individual, not just as a race, but as a person," end quote. Across the nation, Black Lives Matter has been painted along city streets in Washington, D.C., Brooklyn, New York, and Austin, Texas. There are several local nonprofit art and community organizations behind the push to send the message here, including Mobile Arts Council, Downtown Mobile Alliance, Rainbow Mobile, and others in the community. Said the Alabama Contemporary Arts Center has offered to be the donation and coordination center for the project. Organizers are hoping the city will grant permission for them to use Conti Street for the project, and they've been backing, and they now have the backing of the City Council President LaVon Manzi. Organizers are asking for chalk paint and water donations to the Alabama Contemporary Arts Center ahead of Sunday's project. So this would be, the way I see it in the rendering, this would be, yeah, it would be almost that whole south side of Cathedral Square.
Hmm.
If in the rendering it would be probably 60% of that, you know, of that one side going down the street.
Yeah, and Mobile will be joining a host of other cities. I think D.C. was at the first place to paint the big Black Lives Matter mural on their street. So that's something we're seeing across the nation right now.
All right, so we'll see where that goes. Of course, Mobile City Council yesterday, they had a discussion, like Dalton mentioned earlier, really a discussion that was brought up by Councilman Fred Richardson, to replace the word, the term race, with ethnicity. Story from WKRG said an ordinance to eliminate the term race on city official forms and documents has stirred up controversy and was debated in Tuesday's city council meeting. The change was discussed at the city council to allow for a debate and then set up a vote at next week's meeting. However, this didn't come without disagreements from those in attendance. Leo Alexander said, when I hear replacing race with ethnicity, who does that benefit? It doesn't benefit black people. He was the main citizen who debated the ordinance of eliminating the term race during the meeting. Much of his debate was aimed at City Councilman Fred Richardson, who proposed the change in the first place, saying, quote, this ordinance sponsored by Richardson is something that will do nothing but be more divisive to our community, end quote. It brings up a lot of, I would actually agree. I would like to see race removed from all the forms, but ethnicity, how narrow are you going to get in ethnicity? And we're all of many different ethnicities. Mm-hmm. So what are we going to put on police forms? Talk about that some more with you in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll check in with News 5, and then Dr. Bill's on the way. And 40 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings on this Wednesday. Glad to have you along. And this Wednesday, it's a battleship day.
Yeah.
Midday Mobile heading out to the fantail of the USS Alabama, doing the show from up on top of the battleship, which is always two things. It's my favorite place to do a radio show, but a bit nerve-wracking, putting the mobile studio, the FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Command Unit, one of those big Sprinter vans, up on top of the battleship. But we figured it out, and we get it done. Do the Midday Mobile show from noon to 1, and then Cal and Tom, the Scuttlebutt crew, joins us at 1 o'clock from atop the USS Alabama. Tune into that today, starting at noon. All right, front page of the website, fmtalk1065.com. Three big things, top news stories of the day. Federal judge ruling that Alabama cannot stop local officials from offering curbside voting during the pandemic. Now, curbside voting. This, according to a story from the AP, said a federal judge says Alabama cannot bar local officials from offering curbside voting during the COVID-19 pandemic and loosened restrictions on absentee ballots in three Alabama counties because of the health risk to the voter. U.S. District Judge Abdul K. Callen entered the preliminary injunction Monday evening. Callen ruled that the potential health risk to the older and medically vulnerable voters is in going to the polls or getting absentee ballots witnessed merited the changes. The judge lifted a statewide prohibition on curbside voting at in-person polling locations. He also waived requirements to get absentee ballots witnessed in Mobile, Jefferson, and Lee counties. The state is appealing. We'll talk more about that coming up with Jeff Poore in the next hour. Also, we mentioned the debate continues on eliminating the term race on Mobile City forms and replacing it with ethnicity. Bill on the text line says there are 6,000 ethnicities in the world. I don't know how many. He may be spot on. I don't know, but that seems... And are you of one ethnicity? Are you of multiple ethnicity?
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what I just put Caucasian on the forms now. I'm not really sure. I'm sure that would be cleared up if this were to come to fruition. But this is something that Councilman Fred Richardson has been pushing for a while, and now the City Council debating it yesterday, and I guess they'll vote on it next week, right? Or at least that's the plan.
Yeah, that is the plan. We'll see if it gets tabled or not, but it's set to vote. And also, President Trump signs an order on police reform. Now, it didn't get much attention in national media yesterday, but the president had a presser, talked about it. Bob Constantini from Westwood One with more.
7:48 on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, and it's time for the Mobile Morning Sports Report. Dale Earnhardt Jr. is headed to the NASCAR Hall of Fame. Jr. was among three drivers selected Tuesday for induction into the Hall of Fame in 2021.
I feed off of affirmation. There's no greater pat on the back or a tip of the cap than this.
Earnhardt and Stefanik are juniors joined by Mike Stefanik and Red Farmer, who is known well around here in Mobile. Earnhardt and Stefanik were chosen from the modern era ballot, while Farmer was voted in from the pioneer ballot. In addition, Ralph Seagraves was named the recipient of the Landmark Award for Outstanding Contributions to NASCAR. Earnhardt began his NASCAR career in 1996. He retired from full-time racing in 2017. He was voted NASCAR's most popular driver an astounding 15 times, earned 26 wins, 149 top five finishes, and 260 top 10 finishes in 631 races. He also won two Xfinity Series championships back in 1998 and 99. And now, Junior will join his late father in the Hall of Fame. Stefanik earned six series championships. He had 74 wins and 453 starts. Unfortunately, Stefanik passed away in a plane crash last year at the age of 61. And Farmer was a three-time NASCAR late model sportsman champion and the 1956 modified champion. He gained fame along with Bobby and Donnie Allison as a member of the Alabama gang in the 1960s. The three moved to Hueytown, Alabama from Miami, Florida early in their careers because they had more tracks to race at here in Alabama. In more NASCAR news, another Hall of Famer, Dale Jarrett, announced yesterday that he has tested positive for COVID-19 and is now in quarantine. The three-time Daytona 500 winner and 1999 Cup champion said that the only symptom he has had is a slight cough and that he is doing well. Former Alabama quarterback Tua Tagovailoa is giving back to his hometown. Yesterday, Tua's agency announced that the Miami Dolphins rookie has established a $300,000 scholarship endowment at his alma mater, St. Louis High School in Honolulu. The agency said that four scholarships will be awarded to students from Hawaii over the next 4 years, each named in honor of Tua's grandparents. Tagovailoa was drafted fifth overall by the Miami Dolphins in April. He signed a four-year, $30 million contract. While there may not be a 2020 Major League Baseball season, as owners and players continue to squabble over pay, teams are still signing prospects to contracts following the five-round MLB draft that was held last week. Yesterday, University of South Alabama pitcher Drake Nightingale announced that he has signed with the New York Mets. Nightingale ranked fourth in the Sun Belt in 2019 in ERA and strikeouts. He was named the 2020 Sun Belt Conference Preseason Pitcher of the Year before this season was canceled. As the NBA prepares to restart its 2020 season with 22 teams at the Wide World of Sports Complex in Orlando, Florida, more information is coming in regarding the players' living situation while they compete in the Disney bubble. Teams have been assigned to one of three hotels based on their current standings in each conference. The championship contenders will stay at the Grand Destino Tower at Coronado Springs. The middle seeds will stay at the Grand Floridian, while the playoff bubble teams will stay at the Yacht Club. If players leave the Disney campus, they'll have to quarantine for 10 days when they arrive back to the sports complex. But there will be plenty for them to do at Disney if they choose. Each hotel has a players-only lounge with video games, TVs, and ping pong tables. Outdoors of the hotels, they're set up for pool access and card games. They have enough land there to go fishing, golfing, bowling, boating, or bike riding, and access to Disney's Animal Kingdom. Players, they can also bring a barber in, have manicurists and hair braiders there. The teams will play and practice at three different facilities. Season set to resume now on July 30th before a limited number of family and guests can visit beginning on August 30th. 752 on FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Horwig, and that's sports on Mobile Mornings.
It's 754 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, segment of the show brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That is the number. It's also the website, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, from my buddy Trey. He's been doing this for 12 years now in Mobile and Baldwin counties, and it's as simple as this. He gets rid of the junk. Could be at your home, could be a storage. You got that storage unit, right? You have stuff in there that was so very, very critical, and you sit around and go, I can't even picture what's in there. Maybe it's time to let it go and save that money every month. Get 1-800-GOT-JUNK to come on out, meet you at the storage facility. They'll get rid of it right there. So it's online, 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com, or pick up the phone and call 1-800-GOT-JUNK. You can go ahead and schedule that appointment on a specific day, specific time. They show up, they quote you a price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. All right, a couple things coming up next hour. We'll have Jeff Poor joining us. I want to talk to him about, first of all, this curbside voting thing, that the ruling came out that Alabama can't limit that. So I guess that is, maybe Jeff can help us, it's like a regular polling place, but instead of parking and walking into the school gym or the church facility or whatever, you just pull up and I guess, fill out the Scantron and I figure out how this works.
Yeah, the stock image with the story shows someone standing. I mean, it's curbside voting. Shows someone standing there with a ballot and handing it over to someone who walked up.
How long will that take?
Yeah, and I wonder, is that already happening in some states? Have other states done this before? I'm really interested in how that would even what the process for that would be.
I don't know, so we're going to dig into that. Also, the questions about, the statue question here with the statue of Admiral Sims moved to the History Museum of Mobile. Now the question is, who actually owns that? And, you know, should they be able to take it themselves? Who's the rightful owner? I know John Sharp had a story over at AL.com, and we'll get into that next hour, about who would actually could claim ownership of the statue. I think that's interesting. And speaking of name changes and all that, we've talked about the ballot, the online ballot online petition to change the name of the Wallace Tunnel, George Wallace Tunnel. Well, in Selma, they're talking about renaming the Edmund Pettus Bridge,
mm-hmm.
right? The name for U.S. Senator, leader in the Confederacy, white supremacist. They, you know, pushing to rename that. That one has a signature. 114,000 people have signed on to that.
Yeah, and it seems the name that most people wanted to replace on the Edmund Pettus Bridge would be John Lewis, who well known for his civil rights stances and congressman.
So yeah,
it'll be. I think that one has probably more traction than any others that I've seen. But also, you were asking yesterday during Midday Mobile, and we were talking about the different names of counties around America, Jefferson, yeah. Davis counties. And
how many Lee counties, Davis counties, Claiborne yeah, County,
we
Claiborne
came up with,
counties?
What, yeah. Five or six states that have a Jeff Davis County?
Yeah.
Well, we were wondering yesterday about Columbus.
Yes.
Since Columbus is starting to take the brunt of criticism.
Yes.
Christopher Columbus, that is. You've got Columbus, Ohio, and then Columbus State College there in Columbus. They're taking down the Columbus statue in the middle of the campus. I wonder if they're planning on renaming Columbus State, which is in Columbus, Ohio.
So, and will we, yeah, will we rename Columbus, Ohio? Columbus, Georgia? I mean, what? These are fair questions. Mm-hmm. If you're wondering how far it goes on this, 757, we'll be right back. Talk about that coming up next hour.